Today on Annenberg Radio News.
All right, folks, eco-villagers, free pizza, you bring the beer, we'll work on bikes.
Bicyclists form a unique community in Los Angeles. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, March 30th, 2010. I'm Megan McCarty. The saga surrounding proposed rate hikes by the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power came to a close today. Skylar Kenny has more.
The crowds were large this morning at City Hall in downtown Los Angeles. Hundreds of people gathered to hear the LA City Council discuss proposed rate hikes within the city's Department of Water and Power. Today, a divided city council voted to approve a 0.6% rate hike for DWP customers. The DWP has been pushing hard to increase their rates to help fight the city's growing budget deficit and jumpstart eco-friendly energy practices. But some local business owners worry the increases will put another financial strain in an already tough time.
This proposal could not come at a worse time for LA businesses. With the city facing the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression, asking our businesses to shoulder another increase on their utility rates is unconscionable. Few, if any, will have the financial resources to comply, and for many, this will mean drastic cuts to their operations and potential layoffs to their workforce.
Once again, another business-killing measure. All the way rushed into the council, and they want to raise the commercial rates 40%, residential 36%. Why? Well, it's very simple. The council needs money.
The majority of the money received from these hikes will be allocated to the city's meager general fund, but a small portion will go to alternative energy sources and the city's green energy campaign. Opponents to the rate hikes weren't the only ones inside the PAC City Hall this morning. Many green energy supporters were also on hand to cheer on the proposal.
With the economic climate right now in double digits, this is a much-needed thing to initiate job creation. Listen, this is Los Angeles. We are the greatest city in the nation. Our city, we must invest in our city, our people, and our environment to create good, green jobs.
I'm a ratepayer, I'm a parent, and I feel this is the right thing to do. Let's support sustainable energy. Let's support green careers, and together we can achieve a balance between the needs of business and workers.
Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa challenged city leaders to take green energy investments seriously. Villaraigosa says the city will run out of money unless the DWP increases its rates. Skylar Kenny, Annenberg Radio News.
Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa rallied for his green energy compromise plan this morning on the steps of the Civic Center. Christy Birch reports.
Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa joined Councilman Richard Alarcon in calling for a small, one-time rate increase for businesses and residents on their utilities with the Department of Water and Power.
We're not going back to the time when LA had the ignominious distinction of having the dirtiest public utility in the United States of America.
The compromise comes after the mayor's original plan for greater rate increases was shot down by the city council last week, 13-1. The mayor says the compromise will protect the Renewable Energy Trust Fund, a major part of Villaraigosa's effort to green LA.
LA has a choice. Today the city council has a choice. And the choice is clear. Let's start LA on a path to a sustainable green future.
The mayor criticized other lawmakers for not following through with his green agenda.
But when it comes to walk the walk, not just talk the talk, to put up the money, to make the investment, to do the right thing, to make us green, well, all of a sudden you see a disappearing act.
Villaraigosa addressed criticisms of the initiative, assuring Angelenos that taxes will not be increased. Christy Birch, Annenberg Radio News.
A survey by the California Citizens Compensation Commission finds California lawmakers are the highest paid legislators in the nation. Despite an 18% pay cut last year, lawmakers made an average of over $95,000 a year, compared to nearly $80,000 paid to their counterparts in states like Michigan and Pennsylvania. The commission attributes the bigger salaries to the higher cost of living in California. The commission is looking into reducing salaries 10%. LA's Metropolitan Transportation Authority is taking precautionary measures after dozens of people were killed in a suicide bombing in Russia. The MTA is increasing its staff and using more bomb-sniffing dogs on trains. About 270,000 passengers take MTA daily. One LA foster care agency is being disbanded in response to the death of a child in one of their homes. Paula Kozofsky went to the LA County Board of Supervisors where the decision was made.
The Board of Supervisors voted unanimously to cancel United Care Foster Agency's contract after hearing public concerns. Arnold Sachs, a regular activist, voiced worries over delaying the investigation.
There's a real disconnect, and it's the children that are suffering here.
United Care's executive director, Craig Woods, asked supervisors to consider the agency for reform and not let it become another, quote, casualty of the current dysfunctional system.
When the system itself becomes the abuser of foster children, it is truly a sign that something has gone terribly wrong and that serious reform is needed.
Supervisor Zev Yaroslavsky said there are children at risk that shouldn't be. The decision follows the death of a 2-year-old foster child, Viola Van Cleef. The coroner ruled her death a homicide. Her foster parents were arrested on suspicion of beating her to death. Woods admitted social workers were negligent and made errors during their home inspection. Department of Family and Children Director Tricia Plowen said social workers will be sent to investigate every child's home to ensure for safety and randomly review records. The boards will review the findings in May and decide what action needs to be taken. Paula Kozofsky, Annenberg Radio News.
A report by the American Civil Liberties Union found that Los Angeles County sent more people to death row last year than any other year. Los Angeles, Orange, and Riverside counties sent the highest number of inmates to death row, accounting for 83% of death sentences in the last year. Spring training has already begun in Major League Baseball, but in South LA, high schools are in the middle of a spring tournament in Compton. Asim Barwani has the story from MLB's Urban Youth Academy.
It isn't often that a high school baseball team gets to play on a major league field. Coaches, like Hamilton High's Dave Uyashima, say high school fields don't even compare to the majors.
LA Unified Schools, they drop the baseball field wherever they can, and so you got all kinds of different things.
Things like forcing players to run uphill in the outfield. That's a disadvantage to having a bad field. But thanks to the Urban Youth Academy in Compton and the first annual Dennis Gilbert Easter Baseball Classic this week, 24 high school teams have been getting the chance to play on the Academy's million-dollar-plus fields. And they have great dugouts, too.
We can get all of our guys in here and not sitting on each other like sardines. That's a really good experience for them as well.
That's Monroe High School's baseball coach, Mike Wagner. His team was another one of the first schools that signed up to take part in the tournament, schools from all around Los Angeles. The players aren't hitting with the same aluminum bats that they normally use either. Instead, they're swinging with wooden bats, like in the big leagues. Daryl Miller, the senior director of the Urban Youth Academy, says wooden bats make better ball players.
We think using wood is special because it helps the kids know, number one, the sweet spot, and number two, it helps pitchers to know they can pitch inside. They can be a little bit more aggressive with their fastballs.
The Academy is in its fourth year. It specializes in training students to become better ball players and hosts several high school tournaments throughout the year, providing students with a great professional experience. The tournament is the Academy's first in the spring. Quarterfinals for the Easter Classic is scheduled to start tomorrow, but rain may push it back. Semifinals will start Friday, and the final game of the tournament will be played on Saturday. Austin Barwani, Annenberg Radio News.
Tonight, expect more cloudy weather with lows in the lower 50s. Tomorrow, cloudy skies with a 50% chance of rain and winds of up to 25 miles an hour. Tomorrow night, rain and possibly thunderstorms. And Thursday, expect more rain with a slight chance of thunderstorms and highs in the lower 60s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, learn how the census plans to account for LA's large population of undocumented immigrants. LA is not a city built for bicycles, but cyclists are trying to change that. One group doesn't do it by yelling at meetings or staging protests, but by literally building community, one bicycle at a time. Lauren Whaley reports from the Bicycle Kitchen.
This tiny storefront on Heliotrope and Melrose in East Hollywood has six bike stands spread out across the shop. Piles of chains, mountains of wheels, and rows of old bicycles hanging from the ceiling. The place is packed with parts and people, all working toward the dream of getting more Angelenos off of four wheels and on to two.
There's a strong environmentalist component to supplant the automobile with bicycles.
That's Jim Bledsoe. He's one of 50 volunteers who call themselves cooks. Anyone can come to the kitchen to build a new or fix an old bicycle. It costs $7 an hour to use the space, the parts, and help from the cooks. Here's Jim again.
Cars were a wonderful idea 100 years ago when there weren't any. Today, if you drive a car, you're going to sit in a 200-300 horsepower coffin and go 19 miles an hour. It's ludicrous. It makes no sense. Instead of complaining about that, though, we're here to show people other alternatives to it.
That alternative started 5 years ago in a kitchen in East LA's Eco Village. Founder Jimmy Lazama.
So Tuesday nights, I said, all right, folks, Eco Villagers, free pizza, you bring the beer, we'll work on bikes, and we'll just make it happen. So many people came. It was incredible. That love, when you walked in that room, you felt that love. You're like, ooh, I want some of that. You know, so people were just, it was just contagious, which is why we had 50 volunteers, you know, within a couple of years.
This little community's big dream is to teach people about bicycles in a city built for cars, and eventually to create a different view of Los Angeles.
Such a pretty crazy city. But, you know, on the other level, there's tons of stuff to explore, which is why I love LA so much.
Ben Guzman was there at the beginning with Jimmy.
And I think exploring it by bike is really awesome, because then you hear sounds, you see things, and you smell things you would never experience in a car, which all of a sudden you go, oh my God, those tacos smelled awesome. Oh my gosh, look at that crazy bar. I'm going to go in there. Or, hey, I found this little nook and cranny of a spot. And it's your own little adventure.
It's kind of funny now, or quaint, to think back that, you know, like around 2003, if you saw someone riding a bike, they were automatically your friend.
Kelly Martin is Ben's wife and the nonprofit's only full-time employee. She says now it's rare not to see cyclists pedaling down Sunset or Hollywood Boulevards.
I feel like in LA, there's almost not an excuse to not ride a bike. Los Angeles is geographically and climate-wise a bicyclist's paradise.
Paradise? Most people would say not. But the Bicycle Kitchen, like many groups in LA, is trying to change that. A new 8-mile path along the LA River is almost done. LA County is holding public hearings on a new master bicycle plan. And the city council just promised stimulus money to remove road grates, which are dangerous to cyclists. The kitchen, for the part it has played in empowering people to get on bikes, has something to celebrate. Here's Kelly.
Hey everyone, we're about to leave on the anniversary bicycle ride of the Bicycle Kitchen on Heliotrope and Melrose.
Woo! 40 cooks with red balloons tied to their bicycles, some in costume, some on tandem, mount their rides. They spend the afternoon pedaling through town. Here's the group back at the kitchen. That's the sound of 5 years of hard work.
The Bicycle Kitchen is, it's just like a magical place to be. Like, I can never really talk about it without choking up. And it's sort of, you know, always kind of like, especially it gets more, as I get older, it gets more and more embarrassing that like, oh God, get over it already.
But neither Kelly nor her pals sound like they want to get over anything. Lauren Whaley, Annenberg Radio News.
In every mailbox across the United States, census forms are asking every resident to fill out 10 simple questions. But some communities have reservations about handing over their information, especially those who are not documented citizens. Stephanie Guzman, with help from Ariel Pratt, reports.
Organizations throughout Los Angeles are making a special effort to encourage immigrant households to fill out their census forms. Some immigrants fear filling in those bubbles will ultimately lead to deportation.
We are trying to assure the community of, is the reality that this is private information.
That's Jose Cruz with the National Association of Latino Elected Officials.
It's not even shared with the President of the United States.
The Census Bureau is even concerned. They created a section on their website to fight rumors that census information will be used against immigrants. Thomas Sains, president of the Mexican American Legal Defense and Educational Fund, says the government is flooding immigrant communities with television and radio commercials and other foreign language advertisements.
Oh, I think that when you're engaged in a campaign like this, you have to repeat the message as often as possible in as many different ways as possible. So it really is a saturation effort.
While the government can't share census information, some immigrants fear that census workers will. But Salam al-Marayari of the Muslim Public Affairs Council says that would be a crime.
If there is a concern about a particular census worker or U.S. government official going in and invading someone's privacy and releasing information that is not within the law, then we will prosecute that person to the fullest extent of the law.
The penalty for sharing census information is a fine of up to $250,000. Sains says the Census Bureau expects more immigrants to participate in this year's census, despite a larger undocumented population than in 2000. Census workers will start going door-to-door in April. Stephanie Guzman, Annenberg Radio News.
To talk about what is really at stake in the census, I spoke earlier today with Reshma Shamasunder of the California Immigrant Policy Center. I asked her why it's so important to get an accurate count of immigrant populations.
I mean, we're a state where a quarter of our population are immigrants, and having an accurate count through the census means that we have adequate resources for housing, education, healthcare, senior services. So it's critical that the immigrant population step forward and be counted so that California can get its fair share of resources to serve all of our population. You know, if we don't have a sense of how many Latinos or Armenians or Iranians or, you know, other populations that are out there, Asian Americans, it's very difficult to target services to these populations and to meet their needs. And in a state like California, that's critical.
What would it mean for a city like Los Angeles to have an accurate count?
It's obviously critical. 40% of our population is immigrants. You know, we cannot do without an accurate count of the immigrant community for the city of Los Angeles. If we have an undercount, that certainly will impact the resources that we have access to support our populations, everything from school to transportation to housing.
And do you think having an accurate count with the census could have an impact on comprehensive immigration reform?
Well, I do think that that's important. I mean, certainly having a sense of who is in our state and who is in our country impacts policy decisions, including immigration reform. But I also think it will have impact on just a range of policies that immigrants care about, not all of which are immigrant-specific.
Reshma Shamasunder, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Okay, thank you.
That was Reshma Shamasunder of the California Immigrant Policy Center. Now we check in with Lacey Ehrlich to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Lacey?
Thanks, Megan. Rodney Alcala was in court again today. What happened at his trial. And a foster home was severed ties with the foster company. Find out why. Watch ATVN tonight on Trojan Vision at 6 p.m.
Thanks, Lacey.
I'm sorry, that was so bad.
That's it for this Tuesday. We had help today from Ariel Pratt and Charisse Delgadillo. Karen Marcus is our producer. Timothy Beck-Worth and Richie Duchon are the executive producers. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Megan McCarty. Good afternoon.